Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And I'm back. Michael Cohen here, 1320 WILS. I'm joined by Mark Osler, University of St. Thomas law professor in Minnesota, was a federal prosecutor in the Detroit area from 95 to 2000. Also, Gene Bishop, a public defender in Cook County, Illinois, which includes the city of Chicago. Gene had three family members murdered by a juvenile, and we're talking about juvenile lifers, those who committed a crime before they were 18 and were sentenced to life without parole. Now, Gene, in that case that involved your family members being murdered, did what was the sense that you had and your family had? Did you support that ruling, and do you like the fact that this person is in prison for life now without parole?
Yes, we did support it, and the reason for that is because we felt that the sentence should be very, very rare, but available. And it should be available for exactly the type of person who took my sister's life, and that is someone who had tried to kill before. He tried to poison his own family and was planning to kill again. He was planning to do an equally senseless killing of a bank guard in the town where he lived. Someone who's demonstrated absolutely no remorse, taken no responsibility, and been diagnosed a sociopath. And so for all those reasons, we felt that if he were not locked up, that he would kill again. He would do exactly what he was planning to do when he was fortunately turned in by a friend that he had bragged to. So we were in favor of that. However, I don't want to extrapolate and say that every single person in the state of Michigan who is serving the life without parole sentence fits that set of facts. I think those facts are rare and that the sentence should be rare.
Although the question then would come down to who should decide that. I mean, should families of victims have a say in that decision being made, the no parole option?
I think that where family members' views should be taken into account is in if we have an alternative to this life sentence, what should it be? Because unfortunately, in many of the states that have been looking at replacing it, the people who have been advocating for change have been advocating for the least victim-friendly option, which is parole hearings year after year for everyone. Every life sentence undone and every single person serving the sentence being allowed to seek parole year in, year out, which causes a victim's family member to relive their trauma every year and reengage with the offender every year. That's not a good solution, and I think a better one is one that we're trying to explore now and trying to find some middle ground of, as I said, a meaningful opportunity for review that doesn't happen where you're constantly resetting that sentence.
Mark, you know, a part of the issue is that you're not talking about a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old. You're talking about 17-year-old kids many times who, in the eyes of many, are essentially adults. They've lived on the planet long enough. They've had maybe not the full life experience, but they certainly know when they've done something like murder and how horribly wrong it is. At what age do you think that that option should be on the table, if not at 17?
Well, you know, it's arbitrary. The thing about law, and especially criminal law, is you're going to have to set arbitrary limits. The arbitrary limit that makes the most sense in our system is age 18. Is that perfect? No. Is it arbitrary? Yeah. But it does make some sense. You know, I mentioned before, I'm not a scientist, but I do understand what I read in a magazine like National Geographic. And last month, the October issue of National Geographic had a cover story about the formation of the teenage brain. And is it different than adults? And it's a fascinating story, and it's written for lay people. And it's talking about the cutting-edge science there. And what they're finding is that it's not that the teenage brain is undeveloped. It's just that teenagers are wired differently than adults. They're wired to take risks. They're wired to respond to immediate rewards. And that plays into a lot of the situations where we see these murderers killing people, is that it is impulsive. It's something where there's some immediate reward that they're after, and they don't think about long-term outcomes. And their brain is going to be different than that, just like all of ours are when they're older. It's something beyond simply moral development. It's about how you react to situations that's going to change over time. The peak of that impulsivity, according to that article, is about 15, and then it declines after that. And so 18, is that reasonable? Yeah, it's a perfect no.
And so even in those cases, though, you say that it should be an option. There should not be any mandatory nature in a no parole sentence, in a no parole sentence.
No, I don't think that it should. I think that that Michigan should get rid of the sentence entirely. I know that this is where I disagree with Jean. I think that she's saying it should be rare, and I certainly understand that. I'm saying that there should be the possibility of review later in life. I'm not going to call it parole, because parole is defined as something specific under Michigan law, and I think we need a more thorough examination probably than what normal parole is like. But because it's so hard to define what those rare cases are, what I would like is there to be some chance for meaningful review in all cases. And if there's someone like David Biro who comes up later and is reviewed and he's a sociopath, I would hope that we know that and we keep him incapacitated in prison.
Gene, you obviously the situation involving your family members is absolutely horrible, although, you know, victims of any, the families of victims of any murder would probably feel in some ways similar or exactly the same way, and they would many times probably want the same circumstance of having a murderer put away for life without the option of parole, even though they might have been a juvenile at the time. What about the fact that many families of victims would probably want that same option on the table for them and would may even support it being a mandatory one?
I've come across many of those family members in the course of my work, and, you know, it's certainly understandable that they would equate this sentence with the justice that they want for the life of their loved one, and many of them feel that since their loved one's life was taken, that this killer should live out the rest of his or her life in prison. While I understand that, I don't necessarily feel that way, because I am thinking of this person who took my sister's life as a human being, as a child of God. And it's impossible for me to say that this person can never be redeemed, can never change.
Mark, one last thing. There are certainly states that have the death penalty. In fact, in 2005 the Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty for those that committed crimes as juveniles was unconstitutional. Now, I wonder, in those states where people do feel that way about murder and crime and that the death penalty is something they believe in, is this not really kind of the one viable option they have to put somebody away forever, life without parole, even as juveniles?
Yeah, I mean that is the alternative. And you know, just to be clear, I'm all right with life without parole for adults. You know, I think that there's a point where you can make that evaluation. I just think that when you've got a 16-year-old, it's a different situation, and that you can't do that. You know, death penalty states, there's no more fervent death penalty state than Texas. Now, Texas doesn't have the death penalty for juveniles. What's interesting to me is that they don't use juvenile life without parole for those juveniles for the most part either. It's just a fraction of the number of cases that you have in Michigan. And I think that means that people in Michigan should be asking themselves, why is it that we're using this extreme sentence so much more than Texas is, given the culture there?
Well, that is certainly a good question, and we'll see. It certainly has not been an issue of political discussion. Obviously, we're focused on our economy at this point,
yep.
But I suspect it will come up at some point. Mark Osler and Gene Bishop, thank you both very much for joining me.
Thank you, Mike.